Now, how do all three of these elements, how can they be used? How can you use them with other people? Well, let's do this for starters. Here are three keys to framing. Number one, make sure if you're going to do a frame, you first have what with a person? Have you ever had some jerk walk up to you and try and frame you on something and they had zero rapport? Like you're upset about something, they go, oh, well, excuse me. No, it's really not that bad, really. And they start telling you about how they see it. Does that change your view usually, yes or no? So make sure before you try and frame somebody, you really got rapport. Otherwise, you're not going to have the power to influence them in most cases. Second key to reframing from my perspective is form it as a question whenever possible. Form as a question. If I tell you how your experience is really not what you think it is, are you going to listen to me in most cases? If I have tremendous rapport, maybe, but otherwise the answer is no. But if I ask you a question, like, well, what do you think this might mean in this context? Now you're making me come up with my own resources for the answer. I can't deny my own experience. I can deny your experience, but not my own. So the best way to frame, oftentimes, is to tell a story and then ask a question, or just ask a question directly. Third element to framing that makes framing so valuable, if you do it effectively, is to have a frame that interrupts their pattern. That interrupts their pattern. If you tell somebody a story, what happens is they get in a little bit of a trance while you're telling the story. And that's an easy way to frame. Or if you ask them a question that's really bizarre, but does relate to what they're doing, it'll kind of crack them up. And in a new state, do you think they'll be able to come up with a new meaning better in a new state? Yes or no? You bet they will be able to. So if you break their pattern, you're going to have a better chance of framing. And if I was going to add a fourth one, I would say it's simply this, that I would constantly look at changing their physiology when I was doing the frame without their awareness. Because if you change their physiology, they're going to be in a new state, and meaning almost always changes with a change in state. If you change me into a resourceful state, what I used to be really feeling fearful about, I might feel strong about. What I used to feel hurt about, I might say, ah, it's not that big a deal. Isn't that true? So if you're going to frame somebody, keep these elements in mind. So this man's example was, is there an environment where bullheadedness would be a benefit for your daughter? Or better yet, you know what I would say to the guy? I would turn to him and I'd say, yeah, it's pretty amazing how she's like that. Kind of reminds me of somebody that you know real personally. Do you know anybody who's really stubborn and it makes them successful? And then I'll smile at them. What does that do? Well, first of all, if I've got rapport, I'm playing off that rapport. Second of all, I'm forming a question. Third of all, I'm interrupting the pattern. What am I doing? I'm getting to think, well, maybe they do that too. I'm implying, presupposing, maybe it's made them successful, so I'm not attacking them. And what does that do? It starts to scramble them a little bit. Now I can come back with this man's question and say, do you think there'll be any place in her future where it'd be really useful for her to assert herself? Or I might say, when a boy takes her in the back seat of a car and she doesn't want to be there, do you think these skills will be useful then? Is that a reframe, yes or no?
Yes.
Instantaneously. Okay? Or I might say, I'm curious. If you don't spend time with your children, will you ever leave your mark? Instant reframe and deframe of the meaning he linked to his children. We changed what his children meant to him instantaneously. How many follow the process? Now, I don't expect you to know all this. I expect you to do all this because you already do it. Remember, you got to have faith you know this. All I'm going to do is give you labels so in the appropriate times, you'll be able to start noticing what you're doing and doing it more often. How many of you already preframe people? How many of you have kids who preframe you before they ask for something? They walk in the morning, they go, Dad, would you like some fresh squeezed orange juice? You know, okay, what's coming? The kids know all this stuff. Model your kids and you'll have no problem whatsoever. Okay? They know all of it. They know how to deframe you and reframe you. You say, no, you can't do this. And what do they usually say? But Johnny's parents let him do it. But it doesn't work usually because they haven't broken your what first. Now, if they do it in a funny way, a lot of times they'll get what they want. Okay? So be aware of pre, re, and deframing. Always controlling the frame.
So framing is a very useful tool. You probably use it without even realizing it. The most important thing to remember when you're doing any sort of pre, re, or deframe is that the outcome is to shift someone's focus because that puts them in a state for change. Really, this skill can be used in a variety of ways, not only when you're trying to get leverage on someone. You can use any of these framing skills during meetings, like if you said, Today we're going to talk about some really great opportunities that are coming up in the company, versus saying, I have some news about changes in the company that will affect many of you, so bear with me. Do you notice the difference? Depending on which preframe you use, it changes the tone and focus of the meeting almost immediately. You can also use this with your children in your job, basically any time you're speaking with anyone. A classic example of a D-frame would be if your child was complaining about eating his peas and you said, there are a lot of children in the world that are starving and would love to have your peas to eat. Or an example of a reframe would be if your friend was upset that none of the dates she had been going on lately were working out and you said, maybe God is just protecting you from these men because he has someone special lined up for you. So becoming a master of framing gives you an ability to set up a person or group for a change in their focus or state. And that can be tremendously powerful. That's the way you serve them as a leader. Now let's go to the assignment before we finish the session. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to be on the lookout for opportunities where you can use pre, re, or deframing to help create a shift in a person or group. Before the next session, try to find at least 3 opportunities to practice each of these framing skills. Do you have a key meeting at the office today? Or maybe is there something you need to talk to your spouse or your kids about? Well, these are fantastic opportunities for you to put these skills into real practice. And remember, you can even apply all these skills on yourself. Okay, that's it for today. Until we speak again tomorrow.